Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message. Good morning. Hey, we are in our summertime sermon series entitled The Bible Stories from Failure to Redemption. Again, if you missed any of these, you can check our podcast. Those are on our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com. But in this series, we're looking at some of the stories in the Bible that maybe they're stories we heard when we were a little kid. Maybe they're stories we wished we would have heard, or maybe they're stories we wish we would have at least paid attention to. But we're looking at these figures in the Bible, these heroes in the Bible, and how they, many of them had struggles. Many of them had these flaws, but yet God was still able to use them. And as we're looking at these figures in the Bible, I think it's crazy how we can relate to many of these Bible heroes in more ways than we know. Because oftentimes I think we think they had it all together, but the truth is they did have struggles just like us. Many of them were a mess. Many of them would even be considered failures. But what we have seen through this series is that God turns failure into redemption. God turns failure into recovery, into salvation. He does the same thing for us. God can turn our failure into redemption. So today we're going to jump in. We're going to look at the life of a guy named Abraham. And the account of Abraham is found in Genesis chapters 11 through 25. And again, we're going to summarize the life of Abraham. I will warn you today that we will be very scripture heavy. So get ready to take some notes, but I still will miss some parts of this story. So make this a part of your reading plan. Go back to Genesis chapters 11 through 25, mark it down, and make it a part of your reading plan this week. Again, I challenge you to read your Bibles daily. There's incredible stuff inside the Bible. There's things that you can't make up that can change who we are. There's truths, there's principles that we need to apply to our lives every single day. And again, we have New Testament Bibles back there available to anyone. We also would challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's a free app that you can download to your smartphone, to your tablet. There's different reading plans, there's different devotionals, and there's different versions of the Bible that you can get through that app as well. So I challenge you to download that. But today we're going to look at the account of Abraham, which is in Genesis 11 through 25. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. It's part of the Old Testament, which is the biblical account of history before Jesus. And the story of Abraham is found in Genesis 11, 25. And really, if you look at it, it has similarities to the story of Jacob, which we studied last week. Again, last week, we learned that we are not defined by our struggles, but we are defined by God. We saw how God redeemed Jacob, how he relabeled Jacob to become Israel. And much like Jacob and Israel, Abraham started his life out with a different name. See, he started his life out with a name, Abram, which means exalted father or high father. Then later his name changed to Abraham, which means the father of multitudes, the father of many nations. And Abraham's wife, her name was redefined as well. She went from being Sarai to Sarah. Sarai means quarrelsome, whereas Sarah means the princess, the source of nations, the source of kings. Now, both Abraham and Sarah, the change to their name, it wasn't huge, but it was significant. Because if you look at the life of Abraham and Sarah, God had a plan for them from the beginning. God had a calling on them. And their names had a part of that. Their names meant that they would be the parents of many, the source of kings, the source of nations. But there was one problem. See, in Genesis 11, verse 30, it says, Sarai was not able to have children. And this is a problem, right? If you're going to be the parents to many nations, the source of kings, you probably should be able to have kids. So that change to their name was significant. What's crazy is this, though. God was calling them before he changed them. Let me repeat that just because I think that can apply to many of our lives here today. God was calling them before he changes them. And I believe God calls us before he changes us. And you may be at a place in your life right now where you're thinking, God cannot use me. Right? God, you might be thinking, God doesn't have a plan or a purpose for me. Because of the things I've done or the things the places I've been, the things I'm going through right now, how could God have anything for me? But God calls us to act, and God calls us before He ever calls us to change. God makes promises to us before we ever have to prove ourselves to Him. And we see this through the story of Abraham as well. See, here's Abraham. He's at the age of 75. And his wife is at the age of 65. And there they are. They're not able to have kids, but yet God still calls them. And God makes this incredible promise to them in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will place a curse on those who harm you. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." So here's God. He's making this incredible promise to Abraham at age 75. Abraham's probably thinking like, how am I supposed to do any of these things, right? I'm comfortable in my own ways. And here's God saying, I'm going to promise that I'm going to bless you, make nations out of nations from you. But I want to challenge you to do this. Leave the safety nets of your family. Leave your home. Leave all the comfort that you have right now, and I will bless you. And Abraham's probably thinking like, dude, hold up, God. I'm 75 years old, right? My wife's 65. She wasn't able to have kids up to this point. She's surely not going to be able to have kids after being 65 years old, right? And you want me to leave everything I know. You want me to leave all the comfort that I have. But the cool thing is this. Is that Abraham trusted God and left. He took his nephew, he took his wife, he took all the things he owned, and he set off to follow God's plan. And now when you hear about Abraham, again, you're probably thinking that this guy is perfect, right? Even the fact that he left everything in that moment means, man, he must have had an incredible faith. He must have trusted God with everything. But Abraham, just like you and I, he had struggles. He had times where his faith was lacking. He had times where his faith and his trust was even weak. And you see this when Abraham leaves. He's trying to fulfill God's plan, and he's going through Egypt. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they were a little on the older side, but man, I'll tell you what, the Bible says that they still were a pretty good-looking couple. And when they're going through Egypt, Abraham is about 75 and his wife was about 65. But 65 to Sarai at that time, right, that was like the new 30. She was a good-looking 65-year-old, so much so that it scared Abraham that instead of trusting God, he decides to take things into his own hands, and he tries to protect himself. So he has Sarah lie to the Egyptians and say that she's his sister and not his wife, because Abraham's thinking that if the Egyptians find out that that's his wife, that they're going to kill Abraham and then take her as their own wife. So here's Abraham. Out of his own selfishness, out of his own trust in himself, his lack of trust in God, basically Abraham, for lack of a better description, pimps out his own wife. He says to the king Abraham, and it says that the king of Egypt actually gave Abraham sheep, cattle, donkeys, camels, and servants for Sarah. And then the king of Egypt makes Sarah his own wife, right? You can't make this stuff up. Here's Abraham lying about who Sarah was. And not only did he do that in that circumstance, but he did it again later in his life to a guy named Abimelech. So here's the great father Abraham, the father of all this faith, this one person that you see that seems like, man, he trusted God with everything. But you see in a moment he trusts himself. In this selfish moment, he basically is a pimp and a liar. So clearly, in Abraham's life, God had to step in and to redeem him. And in the case of the Egyptians, he causes the Egyptians to get sick. So the secret comes out of the bag that Sarah is Abraham's wife. This completely ticks off the Egyptians, so they kick Abraham and Sarah out of Egypt. And so Abraham and Sarah, they continue to travel on. And while they're traveling, again, this is about 10 years later, and still no baby. And why they travel, they continue to accumulate wealth, so much so that actually Abraham's people and his servants, they start fighting with Lot's people and his servants. So Abraham and Lot have to separate and part ways. Then Lot goes off. He actually gets captured. So Abraham has to decide to rescue Lot. So Abraham goes back with his men, fights to save Lot, gathers more stuff in the meantime because he had a battle with all these people that he took over from Lot. And then you see again, here's Abraham. And God is again speaking these promises and these plans to him in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Let's check out this dialogue. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. It says, after these things happened, the Lord spoke his word to Abram in a vision. Abram, don't be afraid. I will defend you. I will give you a great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me? I have no son. So my slave Eliezer from Damascus will get everything I own after I die. Abram said, look, you have given me no son, so a slave born in my house will inherit everything I have. Then the Lord spoke his word to Abram. He will not be the one to inherit what you have. You will have a son of your own who will inherit what you have. Then God led Abram outside and said, look at the sky. There are so many stars you cannot count them. Your descendants also will be too many to count. And then Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abram's faith, and that faith made him right with God. So here's Abram. Here's Abraham, right? Still with no kids. And God continues to make this promise to him. But Abraham's at this point where he's not seeing this promise come together. I think many of us can probably relate with Abraham here, where he's frustrated beyond belief, right? Maybe that's where you are today. You feel like God has something big for you. You've heard people even say, man, that God has a plan for you. But you look at your circumstances and you think, man, that plan is almost impossible. Maybe that you look at your finances and you realize your finances are a mess. And you're thinking, man, how can God work through me when I have this mess in front of me? How can God work through that? Maybe you look at your marriage and it's a point of struggle. And you're thinking, how would God ever be able to restore it and restore me? Or maybe look at the fact that maybe you don't have a relationship now, but that's your one desire. And you continue to wait, but it almost seems impossible. Or maybe your work situation's at a terrible place right now. You just want to give up. This is the point where Abraham was. But look what God did. God changed his perspective. He changed his outlook. He led him outside. Here's Abraham. He's laying down. He's sleeping in a tent having a dream, but God led him outside of his tent, outside of his problems, outside of his own little world, and he looked up at the stars. Now, have you ever really looked up at the stars in your life? Not talking about in town here where there's lights and there's street lights and there's different store lights. Not that, but maybe when you're a little bit outside in the country. See, we're lucky enough where we live a little outside the country where there's no street lights, there's no store lights, there's nothing like that. But one of our favorite things to do is when we get home late is to go out and look up at the stars. In fact, my kids will often try to stay awake just so they can do so. Griffin will beg, let's go look at the moon and the stars. Let's go look at the moon and the stars, right? So we'll go out in the driveway and we'll look up. And on a clear night, it's incredible what you can see. It's amazing how many stars you can see. So many that you can't even count them. Really, I think it puts things into perspective. Maybe for some of us, we need to put things in perspective. We need to be removed from our own little world and look up at the stars. Because when we focus on our problems, when we focus on our issues, it's hard for us to trust in God. But when we remove ourselves from those circumstances, when we see what God sees, I think we understand that our struggles, they seem so small in comparison to who God really is. This is what God has Abraham do. He leads him outside the tent to go outside and look at the stars. And again, I love verse 6. It says, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abram's faith, and that faith made him right with God. Abraham's faith, his trust in God, made him right. Do you need to leave your tent today? Do you need to remove yourself from your own circumstance so you can see the bigger picture and to believe in God, to restore your faith, to restore your trust in him? 2 Corinthians 5:1 says this. It says, we know that our body, the tent we live in here on earth, will be destroyed. It's temporary, right? But when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made by human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. Instead of focusing on the temporary, I think we need to focus in on the eternal. There's a bigger picture for each and every one of us, but we have to trust in Him. God's plan requires our trust in Him. If we don't get anything else from today's message, please get this. Walk away with this. God's plan requires our trust in Him. And this trust is a process that we all go through. Again, just like our lives, there's many moving parts in the story of Abraham and Sarah. See, here's Abraham, and now he's getting over the issue of trying to take control and not trusting God. But now here's where Sarah decides to trust herself more than God. Now Abraham's about 86 and Sarah's here, she's 76. And she's just thinking, you know, this waiting game for this child, man, it's not flying anymore. Like, this isn't really going over well. So Sarah, she decides to take things into her own hands and tells Abraham to make a baby with her own slave girl named Hagar. She thinks this is the answer to them starting a nation. She thinks this is the answer to God's promise, and she's going upon her own ideas and her own way. She decides to take things into her own hands. So Abraham does this, and Hagar and Abraham have a baby, and they name him Ishmael. But if you look at this, this is clearly not God's plan. In fact, an angel sent down and states in Genesis 16:12 says this. It says, Ishmael will be like a wild donkey. He will be against everyone, and everyone will be against him. He will attack all his brothers. So here's Sarah taking things into her own hands, and it doesn't necessarily go well. Hagar has this baby named Ishmael, who basically is going to be against everyone, and everyone's going to be against him. Just a quick little side note on Ishmael, in case you ever wondered, man, what that is. The Muslim religion actually derived from Ishmael and his descendants. So it's kind of a crazy correlation, and you look at that. Look at that. Because she took it upon herself, because she wasn't fully trusting God, this is what happened, right? If you look at the life of Abraham and Sarah, they struggled fully trusting God. They struggled with waiting on His plan and being patient. And for some of us, we might not even blame them, right? This is like 10 years of this promise of having a child, and they continue to wait even longer. In fact, they had to wait for 25 years, and then finally Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, and they become pregnant with their son Isaac. In Genesis 17, verses 15 through 21, it says, God said to Abraham, I will change the name of Sarai, your wife, to Sarah. I will bless her and give her a son, and you will be the father. She will be the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will come from her. Abraham bowed face down on the ground and laughed. He said to himself, can a man have a child when he is 100 years old? Can Sarah give birth to a child when she is 90? Then Abraham said to God, please let Ishmael be the son you promised. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, will have a son, and you will name him Isaac. I will make my agreement with him to be an agreement that continues forever with all his descendants. As for Ishmael, I've heard you. I will bless him and give him many descendants. I will cause their numbers to grow greatly. He will be the father of 12 great leaders, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will make my agreement with Isaac, the son whom Sarah will have at this same time next year. So after 25 years, God lets them know that this is going to happen within the next year, right? God works His promise out through Abraham and Sarah, and God gives them the son named Isaac. And again, if you remember from last week, Isaac was the father of Jacob, who we know as Israel, where the whole nation of Israel came from. So here's God's promise. It's coming true. But I love Abraham's response as well. It says he laughed. I think many times we think God has these big plans for us, but we laugh because we don't think we could ever accomplish them. In fact, Sarah even laughed. Sarah's response was the same way. She laughed as well. In Genesis 18, 10 through 15, it says, then the Lord said, I will certainly return to you about this time a year from now. At that time, your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were very old. Since Sarah's past the age when women normally have children, she laughed to herself. My husband and I are too old to have a baby. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, I'm too old to have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, I will return to you at the right time a year from now, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did laugh. Here's what I think is incredible. What's laughable to us is possible to God. In fact, God's specialty is making the impossible possible. That's why it's so important for us to understand God's plan requires our trust in Him. What is God asking you to trust with your life today? Is it a broken relationship? Is it your finances? Is it your marriage? Is it your work? Is it your career? What is God asking you to trust with it, in Him for, with your life today? Oftentimes, too, I think it's pretty apparent to us because I think God often requires this radical trust. God wants to stretch us. He wants to challenge us. He wants to grow our faith. He wants to grow our trust. Because the truth is this, God demands radical trust to bring about radical results. And again, you see this through Abraham. If you look at the life of Abraham, really, the fact that he was waiting so long to have a kid was just a build up to what God was really going to ask him. The whole waiting game for Isaac was nothing compared to the next step. And you see this in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 2. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham's faith. God said to him, Abraham, and he answered, here I am. Then God said, take your only son, Isaac, the son you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Kill him there and offer him as a whole burnt offering on the one of the mountains I will tell you about. Say, what? Wait a second. Hold up. What did God just ask Abraham to do? Here's God, and he's asking Abraham to sacrifice the promise of Isaac, the promise that he gave Abraham and Sarah. Now God's asking to sacrifice, to kill him on a mountainside and offer him as a burnt offering. Like, how does that work, right? How messed up is that? But what's crazy is this, is that Abraham trusted God and he moved forward with this plan. So he's walking up the mountain with his son. He's got all the items for the sacrifice that's needed, except for one thing. And here's his son, Isaac. He's looking around and he's thinking something seems a little bit off here. Something seems a little bit sketchy here. And here's what Isaac says in Genesis 22, verses 7. It says, then Isaac said to his father, Abraham, father. And Abraham answered, yes, my son. And Isaac said, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb that we're going to burn as a sacrifice? Then Abraham answered, God will give us the lamb for the sacrifice, my son. Look at the amount of trust that Abraham has in God. He says, God will give us the lamb for the sacrifice, my son. Even if that lamb is his son, he's willing, he's trusting God. And what's incredible is that God shows up, provides a lamb for the sacrifice because I think Abraham trusted him in that moment. He didn't have to kill his son. And the good news for us is that God provides each and every one of us a lamb for the sacrifice as well. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus, if you look at it, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God because Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us. God sent him to live a perfect life, to die on a cross and be raised again for each and every one of us. But the beginning step is that we have to trust in him. God's plan requires our trust in him. Now imagine if we could live this out. Imagine if our trust in God was greater than our trust in ourselves. Think about what we could accomplish through this. In fact, Jesus even states this in Matthew 17, 20. He says, I tell you the truth, that your faith is as big as a mustard seed. You could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. All things will be possible for you. What are some mountains you need to move in your life? What are some areas where you need to fully trust in God? And how do we walk this out? What does trusting God really look like? I think first thing, trusting God looks like this. It looks like having perspective. Trusting God is having perspective. Again, if you look at Abraham, God removed him from his tent to look outside at the stars. What do you need to remove yourself from? To get a practical, really get practical on gaining perspective, I'm just going to steal this concept that I found on Facebook this week that my wife reposted. But here's how we can gain perspective. I think we can look around ourselves and find all the things that God created. So when you find yourself in a situation that seems almost overwhelming, here's how we can gain perspective. We can look around, find five things that we can see, four things that you can touch, three things that you can hear, two things that you can smell, and one thing that you can taste. And realize all those things are designed and developed by God. Because the truth is, God is bigger than any issue we have. But in order for us to trust in Him, we need to have perspective. Another aspect of trust is this, is waiting. Trusting God means waiting. And throughout this whole entire series, you've seen many of the heroes in the Bible, many of the figures in the Bible, they had to wait. So why would we be any different? Why would we be any different than these Bible figures? Trusting in God means waiting. And understand this, waiting does not mean doing nothing. And I love how this song says, "While I Wait" by John Waller. I love how it says it. It says this. It says, "I will move ahead, bold and confident, taking every step in obedience while I'm waiting. I will serve you while I'm waiting. I will worship you while I'm waiting. I will not faint. I will be running the race even while I wait." What do you need to wait on now? And how can you wait? How can you serve Him where you're at? How can you worship Him where you at, where you are at while you wait? Trusting in God requires waiting. And trusting in God requires follow through. We have to follow through. We have to act upon what God is telling us to do. God calls us to be obedient. Obedience is trust in action. And God uses our obedience to do a miracle in our lives, and uses our obedience to do a miracle in the lives of others. What are you supposed to follow through on now? How can you put your trust into action? God's plan requires our trust in Him. As I close and we go into this response time, I just want to end by giving you an opportunity to trust in Him. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Him. Or maybe you had a relationship, but you walked away and He's calling you back to that relationship with Him with the first step of trusting in Him. If that's you, I just want to pray with you today. I'm going to make this simple. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand and repeat this prayer after me. One, with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with Him today. Three, raise your hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross for me and to be raised again. Forgive me of my sins. And God, help me trust you every day so that I can walk out your plan for my life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.